we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we are glad to spend the next half hour with you. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. And we just want to say thank you to everybody who's planning on coming out tonight. We have a special night of worship and music ministry with Greg Wynn. He's actually a childhood friend of mine. Greg has six CDs that he has released. He plays the saxophone. He does all sorts of styles of music, from jazz to gospel songs and fun songs, and very, very funny as well. And so we encourage you to come out. That's going to start tonight at 7 p.m., our kids' ministry will go at 6. We'll still have the kids' classes and things like that. But he will also have CDs available, posters, all that sort of stuff. If you want something, he probably has it. I know people who've encountered his music ministry before, and they have recommended him highly. And I encourage you to come out and be a part of that. And so I want to encourage you to get ready. From what I understand, listening to the weather forecast yesterday, is that we have another cool front that's coming through. Yay. Because as much cool weather as we can get, the better I like it. And so this weekend, I think it's supposed to drop down into the 50s again. And so we're looking forward to that little blast of cool weather and a little bit more relief for our air conditioning system. And if you have AC issues, I want to recommend to you Creative AC Solutions today, 759-3284, 759-3284, it's area code 321. Bill Andriak is who that company belongs to. His wife Heidi is our worship leader. We had newcomer's lunch this last week, and introduced Bill to somebody, and he said, "Now that's one of the people you talk about on the radio program." And I said, "That's him." And so, if you're here in the central part of the county and need your air conditioner worked on, service call made, maybe cleaned, check your filters, all that sort of stuff, give him a call, 321-759-3284, and he will get you up and running. So we are going to be in Isaiah, the 61st chapter today, Isaiah 61, and really looking forward to this part of the message. We're going to move pretty quickly here through the rest of Isaiah chapter 61, at least in comparison to how much time we have spent on verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So let's look at verse number 2 today, where, and you got to remember, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said that this scripture is fulfilled in their hearing on that day when he read it in the synagogue. It says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I don't know if other people battled rejection issues when you were growing up, but that was one of the most traumatizing things for me, was the concept of being rejected. You know, being rejected if you were trying out for a sports team, being rejected if you were asking someone to go to a school carnival with you or whatever, being rejected by colleges when you applied to them, being rejected for jobs, being rejected by those that were supposed to love you unconditionally. Rejection is a horrendous experience to go through, and that's why one of the reasons why I appreciate Jesus' ministry so much is he identifies us with us in our rejection, because he also was rejected, the stone which the builders rejected. But the most horrible thing that I could imagine would be to be rejected by God. And there are a lot of people who go around ascribing rejection to God because they have been rejected by so many other people. That I want you to know that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus and he anointed him to preach the good news to the poor, that one of the purposes of that was to inform mankind, to let them know that because of the work of Jesus, because of his sacrifice upon the cross, his shedding his blood for our sins and being an advocate for us before the Father, that it was no longer a time of rejection, but it was the acceptable year of the Lord. You have to understand that sin is not just a bad choice. Sin is not just a consequence. Sin was our nature, but sin is something that cannot be tolerated in heaven. You say, well, that is just absolutely horrible. How could God ever expect heaven to be such a, if I can use this term, a sanitized holy place when we are fallen creatures? And I want you to know that the only way that we could exist in heaven is because of the sufficiency of Jesus. And a lot of people say, well, that's not fair. I actually had a person tell me one time that when he got to heaven, he was going to explain it all to God because God just absolutely had no clue of what it was like to be a human. And when he got to heaven, he was going to explain it to God. God would say, oops, you know, that never entered my mind. Come on in. I know that you don't want to live the way that I want you to, but just go ahead and come on into my house. We have completely different value systems, but, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to get along just fine. And I want you to know that's not how it was. You know, my dad worked one time on a manufacturing plant. It was a semiconductor plant. He was part of the construction crew that built that plant. And he described that when they were building certain parts of it, that they would have to go into a room and they would have to put on special clothing. I don't remember because I was an adult at this time, so I wasn't out there when he traveled out to work on this plant. But there were extreme measures that the plant insisted on during the construction process and then during the processing of the semiconductors to make sure that there were no contaminants that were brought into that computer chip manufacturer. And I can tell you with all certainty right now that whatever chips they were manufacturing back in those days, those chips are now obsolete. But that company said, we cannot afford to have any contamination inside of this. And you run into the same sort of situations if you go into a hospital, that if you're having surgery, that's got to be a completely sanitized environment. How much more so do we would we have a reasonable expectation that heaven, a place where there's going to be no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sickness, no more death, no more pain, no more temptation, how much more could we accept that it is perfectly reasonable for a holy God to expect that those who come to heaven live in holiness? You see, it's not a list of rules of don't do this and don't do that, and you got to wear your hair like this, and you got to wear your clothes exactly like this, and all that sort of stuff. That's not what it is like at all. Holiness is I get to live in the presence of God. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the holy life God intended for me to live all along. And so up until Jesus' sacrifice, there was just an animal sacrifice, and it had limited scope. It was, you know, by the time 1 year rolled around to the next year, you know, they were needing to make a sacrifice all over again. But because of the work of Jesus on the cross, the sacrifice for our sin, for the sin of humanity, had been dealt with because Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He makes it the acceptable year of the Lord, to where now we can come boldly before the throne of grace, not with doubt, not with uncertainty. It's not because of who we are. It is because of who He is. It's not because of what we've done. It's because of what He has done. He has made it a year where it is acceptable for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. It is possible because Jesus, by His death, burial, and resurrection, destroyed the power of the enemy and all of His works. And so where the Old Testament had a concept that was known as the year of Jubilee, where every 50 years all of your financial debts were canceled, it was a year of Jubilee was a year of rest from your work. It was committed yourself to you'd sold your property for a debt every 7 years, you had a Sabbath, you were restored, and at the end of 50 years all of your debts were canceled and restored to the rightful owner. Now I've got good news for you. In fact, the church that I grew up in, this year is their 50th anniversary. I can tell you that when we had the 50th anniversary for Merritt Assembly of God, I started preaching the year of Jubilee. And one of the principles that I shared was that is in Jesus Christ, you don't have to wait every 50 years. Today is the acceptable day of the Lord. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. That if you will say yes to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today you can experience what some people only experienced once, and if you lived a really, really long time, maybe twice in your lifetime. And you and I are privileged to have access to the throne of grace on a regular basis. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now, faith is. All of those things. Now, let me go back to when I preached the year of Jubilee at Merritt Assembly of God. In that year, all of our debts as a church were canceled. Not only that, there was abundant provision that has enabled us to go on and do ministry for years and years and years. You see, I just don't want my debt canceled. I want the devourer rebuked. I'm praying God for supernatural provision. Quite honestly, we're believing God for financial provision so that we can do even more ministry than we've done before. And so that's where we are. I'm believing for debt cancellation and financial provision so that the power of the devourer, the power of the thief, the power that the lender has over the borrower is broken forever. And so I want to encourage you. A lot of times people will have the same mindset that the disciples had, where Jesus had to address them and say, don't say it's 4 months until harvest. I'm telling you, look up right now. The fields are white unto harvest. And literally an entire Samaritan village was coming to Jesus that day. There was a revival that was getting ready to take place. They were experiencing spiritual harvest right then. Because of what Jesus has done, you and I are set up to be laborers in the harvest. We're set up to be blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're set up to having our debts canceled, but more than our financial debts, our spiritual debts. Okay, and I always like to share this whenever I talk about that, and it really was a miraculous provision. We got blessed in ways, and folks, I didn't even ask. I wasn't even specifically praying about it. I was just enjoying the season that God had, and God said, let me bestow some favor your way. And I said, now don't write to your mortgage company and saying, hey, Pastor Bob from the Refresh Radio program said that all my debts are canceled, and so I'm just letting you know I'm not going to be sending in another mortgage payment. That's not what you should do. The privilege of the year of Jubilee not is only on the recipient, but if you are a parent and you've ever discovered the joy of giving, you will find that there is a joy in the year of Jubilee for restoring someone back to their inheritance. That's really the miracle of the year of Jubilee. You had an inheritance, you had authority, you had blessing, and you lost it. But I'm coming to restore it. And Jesus, because of the Spirit of the Lord God being upon him and the anointing that was on him, not only sets the captives free, but he restores us spiritually. He restores us and reconciles our relationship to the Father. He can mend broken relationships. We were at our men's conference here a couple of weeks ago and hear stories of people who were reconciled with their families. Wonderful, wonderful testimonies. I want you to know that you don't have to live with the fear of rejection. I like to tell people this because I really was. I had a serious fear of rejection. First time I ever asked my wife out on a date, I had a Linus blanket with me, if you will. It wasn't a blanket, but I had a lollipop that I was using to calm my nerves, and I would speak a couple of words, and I'd take a suck on that lollipop, and then I'd mention a couple other words, and I tell you, it's a miracle my wife ever said yes to go out with me. It's an even greater miracle she said yes to marrying me, and you know, we're coming up on our anniversary here in a few weeks, and it's a miracle, you know, that we are still rejoicing in today. When I start talking about to be honest with you, I've chased a rabbit and I've lost my train of thought here. Let's move on. I'll come back to it when I get to it. That might not ever happen to you, but it happens to me. Oh, my fear of rejection. That's what it was. I had this tremendous fear of rejection, and so I after we got married, I had a miracle in a job that was provided for me. Person came running out of the mall that I was shopping in, said, "Do you need a job?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And I ended up selling shoes. And the crazy thing about being a salesman is you face rejection more than you succeed. And a lot of competition. Malls were a big deal back then. And I discovered that rejection wasn't fatal. 200 resumes for ministry that I sent out, 200 rejection letters. It was over 200. And if you even got a rejection letter. And all of a sudden, when you face rejection like that for so long, you really begin to wonder if the person that said you're worthless and you'll never make it in the ministry was really speaking the truth. So rejection was a very real thing. But God positioned me where I matured, and I realized that rejection by men was not the same as rejection by God. Out of all of the rejections that I've ever helped people deal with, probably they're being rejected by a spouse or being rejected by a parent, probably in that order, those are two of the most traumatizing. But I want you to know today that God isn't in the rejection business. He's in the acceptance business. Today, you may have been told by the devil that you've committed so many sins, done so many terrible things that God could never forgive you. I want you to know that's a lie. Jesus says that this scripture, Isaiah 61, was fulfilled by him. That means that today is the acceptable year of the Lord. If we will repent and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Won't you say yes to being accepted by Jesus today? This first part of verse number 2 is coupled with a latter element, and that is, and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Okay, so on one, you've got this tremendously positive statement, and it says that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And the second is it's the day of the day of vengeance of our God. Now, I need to remind you that the scripture says that you and I are not supposed to be motivated by revenge. Vengeance belongs to God. And he promises this: he will repay. The problem when we try and get revenge is that we lash out against people. When God gets revenge for us, when he avenges us of what has been done to us, I want you to know that he takes it out on the devil. He is the ultimate foe. We don't wage war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And Jesus says that he is going to get back. And so as a result of that, he came to destroy the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he came to uproot the areas of our life that were prey to that temptation. And so when God avenges us, it is a glorious, glorious thing. Too many people want the forgiveness of God, but they don't want the deliverance that God wants to bring. I don't know about you, but if something had been oppressing me and injuring me for all of my life, and Jesus came and said, I can deal with that if you will let me have it, I want that dealt with. I want it dealt with. I want it gone. I don't want it having any more power over my life ever again. Okay, let me put it in a financial term. If you've had a car payment for as long as you can remember, and somebody comes and pays off the car for you, you don't get up the next month and say, you know, I've just made this debt payment so long, I just want to continue to send them this money, even though I don't have to. You'd say, man, I got places I could use that money. And so I want you to know today that God wants to position you, he wants to position me for victory in the same battles that we used to experience defeat at. So when he comes and he says, it's the acceptable year of the Lord, and now I want you to watch as I deal with this spiritual stronghold that held you captive all your life. We talked a little bit about this with the anointing, where the yoke of oppression and the yoke of burden was destroyed. He said, I am going to render this thing powerless in your life from here on out. It's the middle of the week. Wednesday. That because of the work of Jesus, you and I are not victims. We are victorious. He has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. I want you to know today that if you have been trained to think like a victim, don't. The children of Israel came out of Egypt, and the power of Egypt physically was broken over them. But the power of Egypt in their minds, in their thought processes, in the way that they viewed themselves, it took generations for them to really begin to understand that the power of their past had been broken and that they were able to start thinking like the covenant people of God. And then as soon as that generation died off, they went back to doing things however was right in their own eyes. And I tell you, I don't want to do that. You want to live in victory? Don't do what is right in your eyes. Do what is right in God's eyes. And I want you to know that I believe as long as there is breath inside our lungs, we're going to have to really focus and say, God, teach me. Teach me what is right. God, remind me that I am chosen of the Lord, that I am the favor of the Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but when that angel showed up to Mary, who was in a land that was occupied by Roman soldiers, and he said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored of the Lord." I don't know about you, but that's a statement that wouldn't necessarily line up with what she was experiencing at that point in time. Yeah, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. I want to let you know today that because of the work of Jesus, that same statement could be made over you today. Rejoice. It's Luke chapter 1, verse number 28. Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among mankind. You are blessed of the Lord. Today, you don't have to worry about how you're going to get even. Don't do that. That's a waste of good time. Say, you know what, God? I pray that you would work in their heart and that you would bless them with the gift of repentance. And God, right now, because you have blessed me, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to forgive them and pray that the work that you've done for me is the same type of work that you would do for them. Let me remind you what it says one more time. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, today I want you to ask him to be the Lord of your life. The good news is he's going to accept you into his household of faith. Lord, I just pray right now for everybody that's listening. Lord, if there's any who've dealt with rejection, and Lord, it's traumatized them, I pray today that you would remind them that you're not there to traumatize them. You're there to forgive them. You're there to empower them, and you're there to deal with all the problems they face victoriously. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.